The office did not start the day on fire. It slid into pressure, fluorescent lights humming, screens glowing, deadlines pulsing in every inbox. Nobody sees the fracture at first. It hides in quiet moments, a question ignored, a name skipped, a man who answers the room but cuts a clean, silent hole around half of it. By midweek, the women can map it. When they speak to him, nothing. When a man repeats the same line, he responds, calm, normal, as if the first voice never existed. It is not a mood, it is routine. It wrecks small tasks first, then meetings, then trust. When a key deliverable blows up, and a female project lead is left holding the blame, the silence stops feeling personal and starts feeling dangerous. HR is pulled in, not for drama, for survival. The company can handle missed deadlines. It cannot afford a man who refuses to speak to half the staff and a stack of witnesses ready to talk. The Monday stand-up was already behind schedule when Shanice walked into the glass-walled conference room. Laptops were open, coffee cups half empty. The client timeline sat on the screen at the front. Red blocks showed what was late. Too many. Adrian sat near the end of the table, crisp shirt, neat notes, eyes on his monitor. He nodded when Marcus joked about the weekend game. He gave a quick answer when Devin asked if the back-end script had run. Simple. Calm. Shanice dropped into her chair, opened her laptop, and tried to ignore the knot under her ribs. The client call on Friday had been rough. They wanted a clean walkthrough of the new dashboard by Wednesday afternoon. No more excuses. No more slips. All right, she said. We have 2 days. I need status on the data feed for the usage charts. Adrian, where are we on that transform? The room went a little quieter. Chairs creaked, keys clicked. Adrian did not look up. He moved his mouse, scrolled, typed something. Adrian, her voice stayed level. The transform, is it stable? Devin glanced across the table. Marcus looked down. One beat, two, three. Adrian kept his eyes on his screen. Shanice felt heat rise in her chest. I am asking about the transform you owned. We need to confirm it before we lock the demo flow. Devin shifted. I talked with him earlier, he said. He said it ran fine on staging last night. Adrian nodded once, to Devin, not to her. Shanice stared at him. You could have told me that directly. He did not answer. He clicked into another window and started typing again. The meeting moved on because it had to. Tasks were assigned, checkpoints set, people filed out. Shanice stayed in her chair for a moment and watched Adrian walk out with Devin, trading low, easy comments about a code library. By lunch, the story had already started to move. In the break room, beneath the stale smell of reheated food, Jasmine stirred sugar into her tea and said, "He does that with you too?" Shanice blinked. "What?" "The silence thing." Jasmine kept her voice low. "You talk. He freezes. A man repeats what you said. Suddenly he can hear. I thought it was just me at first." Across the table, Maria looked up from her salad. "It is not just you." Shanice frowned. "Give me an example." Maria set her fork down. "Last week, the budget sink. I asked him if he could send over the cost breakdown for the cloud services. Nothing. I thought he had headphones in." Marcus asks 5 seconds later. Adrian answers him straight away, says he will send it before end of day. Jasmine nodded. "Same in training. I asked about the new ticket system. No response. Devin asks the same thing. Adrian explains it to him in detail, like I never opened my mouth." Shanice felt the knot tighten again. She replayed the stand-up in her head, her questions, his blank silence. The moment he answered Devin as if that was normal. "How long has this been going on?" she asked. Maria exhaled. "Months, maybe more. I thought I was imagining it, or that he just did not like me. Then I watched him do it to Jasmine, then to Claire from finance. Always women, never the guys." The break room door opened. Adrian stepped in for water. His eyes slid across the group. He nodded once in the direction of Jasmine and Maria, then turned to the cooler. Shanice met his gaze. "Adrian," she said, "about the usage transform. Next time I ask for a status, answer me. I am leading this project." He filled his cup, the stream of water loud in the quiet room. He put the cup down, picked it up, and walked out without a word. Jasmine stared at the door after it closed. "You see?" Shanice did not answer. She did not trust what would come out. The client review on Wednesday landed hard. They dialed in from a conference room that still smelled like dry erase cleaner. The client lead, a woman named Dana, came on camera with a tired expression. Her team lined the small boxes along the top of the screen. "Walk us through the dashboard," Dana said. We are out of patience for slide decks. We need to see this thing working. Shanice started strong. Log in. Overview tab. Initial charts loaded, clean and smooth. Then she clicked into the usage view. The page hung, spun, then threw an error code. Shanice's stomach dropped. Her hand tightened on the mouse. She refreshed. Same error. Is this the new transform you mentioned? Dana asked. Her tone cooled. Yes, Shanice said. Give me a second. She hit mute, turned to the table, and locked on Adrian. What happened? He looked at the screen, looked at his laptop, said nothing. Adrian, her voice cut through the room. You told the team it ran clean on staging. Did you test this exact path? Devin swallowed. He said it was fine on Monday. Shanice ignored him. I am asking Adrian. Adrian opened his mouth, then closed it. His jaw flexed. He looked down at his keyboard and started typing a command. The client waited. The spinning wheel mocked them. Shanice unmuted. Dana, we are clearly seeing an error. We will isolate the cause and send you a fixed build with a recorded walkthrough by tomorrow. Dana nodded slowly. Tomorrow is the last extension. After that, we review this partnership. The call ended 10 minutes later, after a tight, strained round of damage control. When the screen finally went dark, Shanice leaned back and stared at the ceiling, the humming lights above her vibrating like an accusation. Pull the logs, she said, now. They crowded around Adrian's screen. The issue was obvious, a missing case in the transform logic. It had never been tested against the exact filter combination Dana asked for. You knew this was new, Shanice said quietly. You should have flagged the risk before we promised it live. He kept his focus on the code. I told Devin it was still rough. Shanice turned to Devin. Did he? Devin hesitated. He said it might need another pass. He did not say it would throw errors like that. Shanice felt the ground shift, not just from the bug, from the pattern around it, who he talked to, who he did not, who carried the blame when things broke in front of a client. By late afternoon, word had spread. The dashboard crash, Dana's warning. The tension in the project room was a living thing. People spoke in low voices, Slack messages pinged with edge. At 5:30, Shanice walked into HR with a folder in her hand and a tight line across her mouth. The HR officer, Lena, looked up from her screen, middle of her 40s, quiet eyes that had seen too many small fires turn into lawsuits. Got a minute? Shanice asked. Lena gestured to the chair. Sit. Shanice laid it out. Not just the bug, the meetings, the break room, the ignored questions, the way Adrian's silence always wrapped around women, never the men. I am not here because my ego is hurt, she said. I am here because his behavior is wrecking our work and landing on the women every time. Today it landed in front of a client. Next time it will land in front of a lawyer. Lena listened without interrupting. When Shanice finished, the room stayed quiet for a long beat. Do you have names of others who experienced this? Lena asked. Yes, Shanice said. Jasmine, Maria, Claire, they all have specific incidents. Lena nodded once. Slow, measured. I hear you. I am logging this as an informal complaint. I need to talk to them, and then to him. For now, keep everything documented. Emails, messages, meeting notes, dates and times. If it happens again, write it down as soon as you can. Shanice stood. If this gets buried, I am not going to just swallow it. I know, Lena said. That is why you came in before you exploded in a meeting. When Shanice left, Lena turned back to her computer. She opened a fresh document in the case tracking system. She typed the date, the time, the subject line, workplace conduct concern, alleged pattern of gender-based refusal to communicate. Her fingers paused over the keyboard. She had seen small unfairness before, cold shoulders, snide remarks, quiet bias that never made it into writing. This one felt different. Lena saved the file and created the first entry in the log. It sat alone on the screen for a moment, a single line in a blank space, waiting for whatever came next. By Tuesday morning, the mood in the office carried a sharp edge. People spoke fast and low, careful not to trigger something they could not control. HR had already pulled Jasmine and Maria aside for brief conversations. Word moved faster than policy. By 9:15, everyone understood one thing. The silence was no longer a rumor. It was an active case. In the project room, the team gathered for a huddle meant to reset after the failed client demo. Shani stood at the front. Her face looked steady, but the pressure around her was clear. Adrian stood near the back, arms folded, eyes fixed on the wall behind her. We have one day to clean what broke, she said. I need clear communication. No gaps, no missing pieces. We are not giving the client another excuse to walk. She turned to the group. Adrian, I need confirmation that your section of the transform is stable before lunch. He looked at her, then past her, then stayed silent. A few seconds passed, then Marcus said, Adrian, she is talking to you. Adrian responded to Marcus with a calm, even tone. I am working on it. I will confirm after my tests run. He did not look at Shanice, not once. A tight wave of whispers rolled through the room. The tension snapped. Claire dropped her pen onto the table. The sound hit like a small explosion. This is what we mean, Claire said. Her voice held firm anger, quiet but impossible to ignore. We cannot work like this. We cannot keep repeating everything for him. Adrian stiffened. I am not required to talk to everyone. I have the right to my own boundaries. Shanice stepped forward. Work boundaries do not mean cutting off half the team. You are impacting deadlines, clients, and people's jobs. He looked away. I am not obligated to respond when I am uncomfortable. The room broke into divided murmurs. A few men nodded with quick uncertainty. Two women shook their heads in disbelief. One worker muttered that HR needed to hurry up. Another said he did not want to get dragged into drama. Before the tension could collapse into a shouting match, HR arrived. Lena stood in the doorway, clipboard in hand. Her expression was unreadable. Adrian, she said, we need you for a conversation. He followed her out. The room went silent until the door clicked shut. Then everything spilled. He is playing victim. This is straight discrimination. If leadership lets this slide, we should file collectively. We cannot lose another client. This is going to look terrible. Shanice held up a hand. We finish the work. We document everything. HR is handling him. But even she sounded tired of hearing those words. In HR, Lena started recording details. Adrian sat across from her, shoulders tense but jaw steady. A staff representative joined the meeting, arms crossed, watching him closely. I need to understand your behavior, Lena said. Multiple employees reported that you routinely refuse to speak to women. Adrian inhaled slow. I have personal convictions. I do not feel comfortable engaging with women beyond what is absolutely necessary. That is my right. That is not a right in a workplace, Lena said. Your responsibilities include communication with your team. You were hired to collaborate evenly with everyone. It violates my beliefs, Adrian said. I should not be forced to break them to do my job. Lena kept her tone calm. No belief allows discrimination here. Your behavior affects performance, creates hostile conditions, and harms multiple employees. The staff rep leaned forward. Be careful how you phrase this. If this escalates and becomes formal discipline, it could turn into something bigger. You do not want that. Adrian stared at the table. I am not causing harm. They are exaggerating. Lena flipped open a folder. She placed printed emails on the table. Timestamps, complaints, meeting notes, incident logs. Last year, she said, a female intern reported the same pattern. You never replied to her questions. She stopped asking. Her supervisor covered for you. That cannot happen again. Adrian's eyes tightened. That intern made me uncomfortable. Lena closed the folder. You will receive a written warning today. This is the first step. He sat stiff for a long time, breathing in small, controlled bursts. Finally, he said, I will not change my convictions. That is your decision, Lena said. But understand something. If you refuse to work with half the staff, we cannot protect your job. He said nothing. Back in the project room, the divide grew. Marcus approached Devon, both watching the hallway where Adrian had disappeared. He is not wrong about boundaries, Marcus said. People act like he is violent. He is quiet. Devon shook his head. Quiet is not the issue. He is breaking the team. We all see it. You are choosing sides, Marcus said. So are you, Devon answered. The tension spread. Men started whispering among themselves. Women did the same. Slack threads split into clusters. People avoided eye contact in hallways. Every task felt heavier. Every deadline felt closer. By late afternoon, HR had enough written complaints to fill a small file. Lena reviewed each one before logging it. Dates, times, locations. Every detail told the same story from a different angle. She leaned back in her chair and rubbed her forehead. She had hoped that the situation might settle after the warning. Instead, the divide was tightening. This was no longer one man with a strange boundary. It was a workplace fracture large enough to draw blood without a raised voice. Late in the day, Shanice passed Lena in the hall. "Did the meeting help?" she asked. Lena shook her head once. "No, it made it clearer." "Clearer how?" "He believes he is right," Lena said. "And he believes he does not have to change." The words hung there, heavy, final. Shanice felt the pressure settle in her chest. "Then we are in trouble." Lena did not deny it. She returned to her office and added the day's events to the growing file. The log no longer looked like a single line. It looked like a fuse. She saved the document and closed her eyes for a moment. Tomorrow would be worse. The next morning, the office carried a brittle quiet. People walked softer. Conversations ended when doors opened. HR scheduled the second meeting with Adrian for 10:30. This time his manager would attend, legal too. That alone set a tone. Nobody said it out loud, but everyone knew. Warnings were finished. This was the line before something permanent. Shanice watched the clock as she worked. The dashboard fix held steady, but the tension in the room shook through every task. Jasmine typed a little too hard. Maria kept rereading emails before sending. Devin sat between two people who no longer trusted each other and pretended it did not grate on him. At 10:29, the hallway went still. Adrian walked toward HR with slow, tight steps. He did not look at anyone. He carried nothing. No laptop, no notes. Just a stiff conviction in his shoulders that signaled he was ready to defend himself again. Inside the HR conference room, the air felt heavy. Lena sat at the head. Adrian's manager, Grant, sat on her left. A company attorney sat on her right, a binder open in front of him. Adrian took the seat across from them. Lena began. "This is a formal follow-up to yesterday's discussion. We have documented a pattern of gender-based refusal to communicate. This meeting will determine next steps." Adrian's jaw shifted. "I told you already. I have personal convictions. I am not attacking anyone." Grant leaned forward. "You are refusing to work with half the team. That affects delivery, quality, and our reputation. Yesterday's client call showed the cost." Adrian stared straight ahead. "I do not feel comfortable engaging with women. That is not aggression." The attorney spoke. "No matter your discomfort, refusing to communicate creates a discriminatory environment. That is the legal definition. The company must address it." Adrian shook his head. "I am not changing my beliefs." Lena pulled out the folder. She placed it on the table. "This is documented testimony from multiple employees. Dates, times, specific examples. None of this reflects occasional silence. It reflects a consistent refusal to acknowledge women speaking to you. That cannot continue." Adrian's breathing grew sharp. "So I'm being punished for my faith." "You are being disciplined," Lena said, "for violating workplace conduct." Grant folded his hands. "If you cannot perform the basic communication required for your role, we need to discuss reassignment or separation." Adrian looked up with cold certainty. "Then reassign me." Lena paused. "You understand that reassignment removes you from client work, limits advancement, and places you under performance review." "Yes," she nodded once and wrote on the form. "Effective today, you will be removed from the project team. You will transition to an internal support unit under close evaluation. Continued refusal to comply with communication expectations will lead to termination." Adrian did not argue. He did not thank them. He simply stood and left the room. The door closed. A breath passed through the table. Grant looked drained. The attorney closed his binder. Lena kept her eyes on the form, signing the final line. "This should have been stopped a year ago," she said quietly. "We ignored the intern. That mistake let this grow." Back in the project room, the shift rolled through like a weather front. Someone whispered, "He is off the team." Someone else muttered, "Took long enough." Marcus asked, "Did they fire him?" Devin shook his head. "Not yet, but he is gone from here." The divide that had split the room started to ease, but it did not close. Trust did not snap back in place just because a decision was made. The damage had sunk deeper than one case file. At 2 o'clock, the company held an all-hands meeting in the big training room. Chairs shifted, people avoided each other's eyes. Leadership took the front with bright lights overhead that made the tension look worse. The director cleared her throat. "We are implementing updated policy enforcement and mandatory training. Communication failures and discrimination will be addressed immediately." A few women in the room crossed their arms. Claire raised her hand. Why now? People reported this last year. Nothing happened. The director hesitated. We take all reports seriously. Shanice spoke next. Not until the situation threatened a client. It should not take revenue loss for women to be heard. The room went still. Leadership offered measured responses, but their words pushed against a tide that had been building for months. The meeting ended with uneasy applause that sounded more like exhaustion than support. By late afternoon, Adrian's desk was empty. His monitor was gone. A new name tag sat where his had been. Someone from IT boxed his remaining items. Nobody said goodbye. Nobody celebrated either. The silence he built had spread too far for that. Shanice walked past the empty space and felt the weight of it. Relief mixed with anger. None of this should have happened. It took too long. It cost too much. At her desk, she opened her laptop and sent a final update to the team. The dashboard build was stable. The client accepted the walkthrough. The project was back on track. But the note felt hollow. Stability did not mean safety. It only meant the floor had stopped shaking for the moment. Before leaving, she walked to HR. Lena sat at her desk, typing the last entry into the case log. "It is done?" Shanice asked. "He transferred," Lena said. "If he refuses to comply there, they will move to terminate." Shanice nodded. "What about the rest of us?" Lena closed the file. "That part will take longer. Culture does not shift with one meeting." Shanice looked at the wall. "This place will remember him." "Yes," Lena said. "Places always remember their fractures, even after they heal." Shanice stepped into the hallway. The lights hummed above her. The office felt different, not fixed, not broken, just exposed. Large companies move on. People do not. Not right away. She walked toward the elevator, gripping the strap of her bag. Tomorrow, the work would continue. The deadlines would return. The team would find a new rhythm. But the cost of silence would stay with them. The doors slid open. She stepped inside. The day ended without a final answer. Only the truth that had been avoided for too long. Silence is not neutral. Silence is a choice. And in this place, it finally carried a consequence.